Shalom, shalom. Sorry for the rough cut on that. We are running behind schedule, so we will not have the normal intro. Technical difficulties. Facebook didn't want to cooperate as far as setting this up. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Find us on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/IUIC Phoenix. And as well on Facebook at The Lost 144K. Again, my apologies for starting late. You lowered my volume on here. All of these should be plugged in. We continue. Oh, hold on. What about now?
Not here.
Yeah, okay.
My presence.
It's all right. One day, the Lord, pray for more laborers, Israel. Pray for more laborers so that things could be done in order. You know, normally I come in here and, you know, I'll type up the intro for the show in the morning and, you know, go from there. But last night, you know, I was ahead of schedule. I had prepared my regular class. I said, let me go ahead and prepare the radio show intro and everything. Had it perfect, had it scheduled. I said, maybe I'll drum up some interest, you know, from the night before in the morning. People see what we're going to go over. And then, 15 minutes late and we couldn't get on the live broadcast. So, you know, and Facebook's funny like that. So that may happen sometimes. So I know a lot of you, you know, you like to watch it on the live stream. That's fine. If for some reason you don't find us on the live stream at some point, go ahead and make sure you got that Blog Talk link, because I think in the future I'll just start the Blog Talk show. And you know, if the Facebook feed comes in later, then it comes in later as far as that goes. Just some housekeeping. If you're listening and you'd like to know more about different scriptures, different lessons that we can that you can learn more about your true nationality, you can go to www.israelunite.org. That's israelunite.org. And if you're interested in purchasing Israelite apparel, books, fringes for your clothes, art, what have you, music, you can go to www.originalroyalty.com. That's originalroyalty.com. Also, if you'd like to call in and speak with us, you can call in at 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. We got to get back to doing a better job at giving that call-in number as well. Last week, we broadcasted from the L.A. school, and you know, now we're back to our little foggy broadcast, not as high def. I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, it doesn't look as nice, clearly, as last week. So I'm feeling a little spoiled. Oh, she said louder. You know, we got to get that cord that plugs into the thing. You know, if you continue to have issues, sis, I apologize. We are not the most technical savvy when it comes to the soundboard and stuff here. I plan to have somebody out here that's going to hook this up a little better. I believe there's an attachment where we can broadcast from. Maybe we're going to do that webcam thing. You said you're going to try to do a setup. Yeah, all right. Maybe we'll do it that way. That way it doesn't have to be from the phone. And because that has a good speaker on it, the webcam, if we could find the one that I got for in here. And then
we have that cord.
Okay, so it should work good. So I apologize. If you still have difficulties, you can go to the Blog Talk link and you can listen to us via that broadcast, and I'm sure that'll come through loud and clear. Let me just make sure we got this set up. Okay, so yeah, I was at the LA school. LA got a nice brand new location. It was beautiful. They were very gracious to us. It was good to talk about, you know, kind of the vibe and mindset of the division between, you know, Northern and Southern Kingdom that they got in L.A. I was actually kind of shocked to see that it's not maybe as bad as it once was, but it's still there, you know, maybe not as bad. I hear Chicago's probably worse at this point as far as the separation, but not so much in L.A. I wanted to talk today about a particular subject. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and, like, share links and stuff. So I'm going to throw it to you, brothers, once I do the topic of the show. And maybe if you got comments on it or anything, you can bring it up. I've been meaning to talk about this for a while. I was hoping I would have had the full hour and a half to do so today, but unfortunately not. But that's okay. The spirit will bring out what needs to be brought out. The Native American slave trade. So, yes, you heard that correct. The Native American slave trade. We often hear the transatlantic slave trade.
Right.
You know, you don't even really hear about, you know, and Native American, you know, you could say the indigenous slave trade of this side of the world. That has multiple facets, too, because, you know, that includes the Northern Kingdom, you know, slave trade as well, because they were here. They were indigenous to this side of the world. But today specifically, I'm talking about what you would think of as when you think Native American, right? We all have a stereotypical look in our mind of what that looks like, right?
Right?
So, you know, some of us, you know, we're thinking, you know, the feathers and, you know, powwows and all that stuff, right? That's the first thing that pops in your head. Right, that's the first thing that pops in people's head. Just like if I said a Jewish man, most people, the first thing that'll pop in your head is what? The yarmulke, right?
A
white man. Right, the little pigtails
on
the side, right?
The black suits.
The black suits, that's what you would think of. So when I'm, today, we're talking about, yes, the Native American slave trade.
Hmm.
Yes, the tribe of Gad and Reuben, according to the Bible.
That's right.
They were in slavery as well.
Right.
And we're going to read that, you know, there's things like a lot of reason that this history was not so prominent and prevalent, though it's starting to come to light a little bit now, historically, not just because of the Israelites preaching this, but historically you're seeing more people key in on it. And, you know, I believe that's the hand of the Lord making that come out more. But, you know, this isn't a topic that's really taught in school. As a matter of fact, they're trying to not even teach the transatlantic slave trade in school anymore. And one of the main reasons that most people aren't aware that there was a Native American slave trade was because a lot of times once the transatlantic slave trade started taking full swing, they didn't classify Native Americans as Native Americans. As far as the colonial, the colonists were concerned, everybody was black.
Right.
That's it.
Different terms, but it was black.
They were like, you're a black slave. That's it.
Right.
So you could look like, you know, Geronimo, and they didn't say, they weren't going to rack their brains to classify.
Right.
They said, okay, they're slaves, it don't matter. And they just classified them as slaves. So everybody has this notion in their mind that the slaves is purely dealing with, hold on, I'm trying to bring this down a little bit. Okay, I think that's better. The slaves are clearly dealing with just what they call African slave trade. But it's not, you know, the Native Americans when they're in the fields, all right, as well as what you would think of as so-called Hispanics. But, you know, obviously the indigenous people is what I'm talking about. So it's the overlooked slave trade of colonial America. A more clear-eyed view of America's history is coming to light for those who search for it, such as slowly recognizing the violence that happened when European settlers encountered the indigenous people of the so-called New World. Right, I say it with quotations because it wasn't new. It was new to them.
Right.
It was already here. But there's still an abundant amount of overlooked history in regards to this. One of these startling omissions to the history books is colonists living in America relied on the labor of thousands upon thousands. And there's another article I'm going to read that talks about they estimate millions of Native Americans to build their new lives. And there are several books written on the topic of the so-called Indian slave trade. I have a few. I just haven't really had the time to dive deep into them, but none widely available. It's like something that, like, unless you're really actively looking for it, it's not something that's going to be pushed or you're going to see, right?
Right.
Now, they'll push, like, 50 Shades of Grey and things like that, you know.
That's not the mainstream.
Yeah, it's not a mainstream type of thing,
right.
Exactly.
Mm.
And the Bible bears testimony to this, you know, and as the Spirit will lead us as we read the stuff, you know, you brothers, if you think of scriptures as I'm reading some of these articles, bring them out, right? You know, because you'll hear it, right? Those of us who are learning, you say, damn, that sounds like, you know, Lamentations. That sounds like Deuteronomy.
Right.
You know, that sounds like Hosea or whatever it might be, right?
Right.
And the similarities between the plight of the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere and those of the biblical Israelites are actually quite astonishing when you look it up, you know, and you'll be able to kind of make the connection that way. You know, you have our detractors out there who talk about, you know, yeah, all nations were in slavery at some point or whatever. And I've gone over this before, you know, not to the extent where all the curses were fulfilled that way, right? And are still being fulfilled to this day. And not to the extent that it happened to Israel. Not, there's no provision in Deuteronomy 28 that says only you will receive these curses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's saying for you, this will be your identity.
And that's Daniel 9:12.
Right.
Where it goes into, we're going to be, it's going to be, it's going to be more evident on us.
Right, right. And the key takeaway from that, the evident, how it's evident on us is that no other nation has made that their identity.
Right.
They all have a history. They all have, they don't need to talk about the slavery that they went through because it doesn't identify them.
Right.
It doesn't show them who they are. Mm-hmm. For us, that's all we have. That's the major thing for our people. I mean, you see it in movies, you see it in what, you know, different history, because prior to that, there's nothing. There's nothing that you can find written. It's speculation. And every account is the account of when the so-called Europeans
right.
came and started talking about us.
Right.
But there's no other group of people that have to do that, that have to rely on somebody else to tell their story.
That's heavy. That's heavy.
Except us.
Yep. Mm.
So here's where it varies, and the curses are clearly, just like the scripture prophesies, it says it'll be upon you for a sign and for a wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that real quick. Deuteronomy 28. And I think I want to start at 45. Let me see here. You know, all these settings are messed up. Normally, I don't hear all this stuff on here. I'm trying not to be annoyed, but I'm annoyed.
We know that.
All right. I'm trying to stay okay, but I'm annoyed because none of this. I should be able to come in and just rock and roll.
We're going to get this right, Cap.
Okay.
Right.
So read Deuteronomy 28 and 45 for me.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee. Till thou be destroyed.
This is the other point that you have to realize. These other nations were not destroyed by these curses. Mm-hmm. And destroyed clearly isn't talking about wipe off the face of the earth, right? Because all these nations are still here today. It's talking about destroyed as a people.
Right.
These other nations are not destroyed as a people. They have their culture. They have their heritage. Mm-hmm. They have their deep, rich history. All right? So it says, all these curses shall come upon thee. It says all, not some, all, right? Mm-hmm. And shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Go ahead.
Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee.
Right? So this is the reason why these curses came upon us. Now read verse 46.
Verse 46. And they shall
and
be.
And they, these curses, and they shall be upon thee. Go ahead.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign. And for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
This is the part where I'm talking about that the curses identify us as a people. They define
right.
our people. Now, those of us who are repenting, that doesn't define us anymore, right? The Bible defines us. We understand that that's where our history and our heritage is found.
Right.
And we use that to define us and who we are. And as we come out of that lower state and kill that old man, mm-hmm. right? But... because up until that point, right, we were searching for something that defined our life. And some of us, it's the gang life.
Right.
Some of us, it's, you know, being whoremongers. Some of us, it's thieving. Whatever it is that we dealt with, those things become the things that define us.
Right.
But as a people, not individually, as a people, the thing that defines our people more than anything else, right, is...
straight up curses.
Just the curses. Mm-hmm. The slavery, the affliction of our people. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not just slavery. All right. That's the major one, because that's what's really documented historically. But what else falls under that thing? The last hired, first fired.
Right.
OK. The different forms of oppression that
right.
we still experience today. The hatred, the disdain
mm-hmm.
for our people to this day,
mm-hmm.
which you read about in Deuteronomy 28:37.
Yep. The hate against each other.
The hate against each other. Right. With wild bulls in a net
mm-hmm.
fighting each other. Okay.
We fill the prison houses.
We're treated differently for the same crimes that the so-called white man, all right?
Right.
Who the Bible calls Esau, but the world ignorantly calls the white man
mm-hmm.
or the Caucasian man, right?
Right.
I mean, it's documented stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's books written on it. I'm talking about the prison stuff. you know, there's a documentary I saw, I think the 13th, and it talks about the 13th Amendment.
Yep.
And I mean, it's clear the statistics are there that for the same crimes, our people are judged more harshly for them.
They are. And you see, there was a incident that happened yesterday, as a matter of fact. This little boy got shot in Toledo, Ohio.
Mm.
And what was going on is I was watching the comments, and this is one of the curses. Our people, you see, Esau jumping on the comments because they had the news, and then you had individuals who was there who were broadcasting live.
Mm-hmm.
And on both the news and the gentleman's live webcam, you were seeing Esau on there jumping on there, coming to conclusions like, you know, he must have had a gun. He must have did this.
Mm-hmm.
He must have did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He did. They've already set out to put us as guilty. And anything that happens to us, we're already the first guilty.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't as a people, they don't look at us as humans, first of all.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, that's part of the astonishment that, you know, let's read that. So go to verse 37, same chapter. So with Deuteronomy, right?
Verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations.
And this is why you say that they'll say, oh, well, he must have had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have been that, you know, something was off with the cop, or it was, you know, a wrongful shooting.
Right.
All right. He must have been up to no good.
Right.
I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Right.
Right?
They're going to bring up his criminal record.
Right. If he has one, they're going to look for
one.
Something.
Right.
And if he
right.
don't have one, they're going to talk about the one time that he got detention in
right.
high
right.
school
right.
or something.
They stereotype our people to criminalize us.
Right, right. Read it from the top again.
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee.
Right. So I look at the definition of astonish, and it says to fill with sudden and overpowering surprise or wonder, amaze. We're in amazement to them. And they say it's overpowering. This is how you know. That, you know, the whole thing, well, what about the good? Well, not all white people think that, not all Asian or whatever see us that way. They say it's an overpowering surprise. And we are.
Mm-hmm.
We are. I mean, the stuff we do to each other, I mean, it's like unfounded, you know? I mean, most races don't do these type of things that we do to each other. And that's
right.
And that's fair. But they says they're overpowered by this.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand, right? Because the scripture says they're not upright,
right?
Right? Their spirit is not upright in them.
Right.
Okay, you know, from the womb they're evil. It's,
right.
You know,
they come out the womb lying.
Right. So it tells you that they you know. So there's a. It's not to take onus off of them, but it goes back to what we read when we were in verse 45. It says, "Listen, you got to understand that this stuff is on you because of what you did."
Right. It's going to pursue you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to pursue you. And this is why the Lord had to line it up this way, that it was such an overpowering feeling for these other nations,
mm-hmm.
of disdain and hatred that they have us,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they abhor us.
Yeah, right.
Right. Read it again.
Verse 37.
Yep.
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword.
It says we will become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword. All right. Go ahead.
Among all nations.
Among all nations. Among all. You know what's interesting about that? It's among all nations. It means even among our own people, even among our
That's
own
true.
People,
yes, yeah.
there would be that type of disdain and hatred.
Mm.
You know, you have the Uncle Ruckuses amongst us,
right?
Right? The Uncle
right.
Toms,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because Uncle Ruckus is just a modern Uncle Tom,
right?
Right? That's really like the satire of what he is.
Mm-hmm.
It, and what's wild is that satire is supposed to be an extreme exaggeration of something. But we all know an Uncle Ruckus.
We
like,
know.
Like, it's not an exaggeration.
In our family.
Right.
In our immediate family.
It's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
And this is the state that our people are in, that I'm talking about as a people now, because this is the distinction, because some people would like to give one example,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like that thing. I got to look up the exact way Muhammad Ali said it, but it's that clip. Lately, I've been referencing it. It's interesting because my wife brought it up to me, and I was like, damn, that makes sense. It's that clip where Muhammad Ali, and I think Cosell's asking him, we're talking about white people being serpents or whatever, like they're not right.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, listen, you're going to tell me that if there's a room full of snakes coming at me,
yep.
and all these snakes have ever done is bite and kill and snatch and mm-hmm. whatever it is, that if I see this coming at me, a room full of snakes, that I'm supposed to be okay because there might be one or two in there that won't bite me?
Right.
He was like, no, you're going to freaking react accordingly, and right. you're going to be rightfully so mm-hmm. cautious of the characteristics of what a snake is.
That's right.
You know? So I want to post the links here because I do want to get into reading this article. Like I said, we're short on time, and I want to really discuss, not in generalities, but the actual, you know, Native American aspect here. So I'm gonna post the links real quick. If y'all brothers have something that you want to say in regards to anything that we said up until this point, or even just how we're going to dive in on this Native American slave trade that's little known. I mean, amongst the natives it is. They understand that you know, historically to some extent, you know, because even among them, some of them are, like, blinded. Mm-hmm. By the cup of what Babylon is offering, but I'm gonna go ahead and post some links and share some stuff while you go ahead and bring and just kind
of. Well, I just wanted to ask on that topic of the Toledo police officer, was that like a police officer shooting another unarmed black man?
It
or?
Was a police officer shooting and I don't believe he was a teenager like some people was they were saying. Mm-hmm. I think he was in his early 20s.
Okay,
but he apparently he had his hands up, and the cop shot him, still thinking that he had a gun.
Mm.
So
did he die?
I believe he died at the hospital.
Wow.
Oh, no. Actually, he died. He was on the floor. He was on the ground. I think they kept him there for like an hour or two.
Hmm.
And he was just laid there. So yeah, he died right on the scene.
Wow.
In fact.
And all our people gonna do, God forbid it happens, they're just gonna go riot, yep. destroy the city.
Right.
And go protest afterwards right. and forget 2 weeks later that these injustices
well, right.
keep happening.
What holidays come? What's the next holiday come? Labor Day, I think?
Labor Day.
Right? Is that yeah. the next one coming up? Because 4th of July
Memorial
already.
Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, no, Labor Day. Yeah, I think yeah. it's Labor Day. So they're gonna riot and do all that, and then come Labor Day, celebrate that thing like it means something to them, like it's for them,
right.
and forget all about that. Just like when this, I mean, it turned out that Michael Brown was aggressive with the cop. You know, he deserved to die. I mean, that's for the Lord to really, you know, that's the defense of the Lord, the scripture
right, right.
says, right? Don't matter what I think.
Right.
But, you know, it did turn out after the fact that he was aggressive, you know, because what they say, hands up, don't shoot. I mean, it wasn't really like that. It came out later and there was witness testimony. But then again, who knows? I mean, I don't want to start creating conspiracy things, but who knows how extreme that is. But the point that I'm making ultimately is that the mother was all, it was a big thing. And then she's celebrating Thanksgiving.
Right.
And she leave an empty seat with his jacket and his fitted on there. And we left a thing for him, symbolic of, you know, which that action's not wrong, right? We had the brother that passed away, Barack Barr.
Right.
And at Passover, we had an empty seat for him. And we put his garment in his photo. But that was in commemoration of a biblically commanded holiday.
Right.
Then she went to sleep around Thanksgiving. Celebrating Thanksgiving, like, you know what I'm saying, like the disconnect, like the depths of the blindness
right.
and ignorance of our people is just outstanding.
And what was the other one when they died and they said Santa's not gonna
Eric Garner
right.
when they
Gosh.
Strangled that brother
right.
he used to be Santa Claus on Thanksgiving or
right.
on Christmas, and she's on the news asking who's gonna play Santa Claus for my kids
right
now.
Right.
Who's going to imitate the white man that just killed my husband to play Santa Claus for my kid?
Destroyed.
That's destroyed. That's destroyed. To for that to be the mindset of our people, that's destroyed. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like that for these other nations, man.
Right.
I tell you, they hold to their convictions. You know who's real good at that? And I'm not just talking about the white man, because the white man will confuse you. They'll trip
right.
you up.
Mm-hmm.
You got some white men that are trying to be like Jake. So
right.
they'll confuse you.
Right.
Ishmael.
Oh yeah.
They tell you stuff to the face about, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of them know that we Israel.
Ishmael, right?
They know that we Israel. Mm-hmm. They understand that history. All right? But they and you know and Moab and Ammon too. A lot of them don't fall for the okie doke.
No.
They know what the deal is, you know? Mm-hmm. But Ishmael like stands out to me with that. So let me go ahead and read this. Damn it! I'm wondering how bad the sound quality is. We gotta fix this thing. So look for that webcam, and let's get it. You know,
we'll take care of it.
Yeah, people who tuned in last week and then see this, they're like,
it was high quality.
Video. You think it's not even high quality? It's like it gotta be another word that we gotta use. That thing was crazy.
Sound like Luther on the mic.
So I'm gonna read this. this is from Wikipedia, just to give some light to it. I'm not saying there's some people who go, oh, that's not a great source, but it says slavery among Native Americans in the United States. So it's interesting. I'm reading. It says if you're searching for Native American slavery or American Indian slaves, it redirects to here. And just listen to what I'm going to read and see how crafty they are, because they try to take away from the fact that natives were slaves to talk about how they had slaves. But, you know, we've gone over that. I mean, you know, that was part of like arrangements and things that were made. And I'm not saying that all Native American tribes were nice to so-called African slaves, but many of them were. And they gave their wives to them. Right. I mean, not their children, their daughters, right, and stuff to them, mm-hmm, to marry, mm-hmm, and they integrated them into the tribe. I mean, you got the book Black Indians that talks a lot about that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but because you know, you got some Jake that say they're not our people because they had us as slaves. Well, what about the Buffalo Soldiers?
Right.
You're not our people because you was killing us.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, if you're looking at it that way. But anyway, so slavery among Native Americans in the United States includes slavery by Native Americans as well as slavery of Native Americans, roughly within the present-day United States. So they got to go out of their way to make sure that you can't just look at it separately. They want to include the fact that, bro, it's crafty, because they don't want us to make the connection with the scriptures that biblically the natives are Israelites, because they try to detract. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, Romans enslaved Romans then.
Right.
So then your whole argument that, well, white people were in slavery too, because what about, you know, Roman slave, like, really, does that discredit the whole thing? No. So it says tribal territories in the slave trade ranged over present day borders. Some Native American tribes held war captives as slaves prior to and during European colonization. If anything, that validates more that we're Israel, because there's laws on the books about us taking slaves of our own people, but we had to treat them different. So they're trying to talk about that was a wartime custom, like intertribally, as they fought each other.
Oh, wow.
Which they did. They would take, but it wasn't slavery,
right,
in the modern definition of what slavery was, all right, or what it well, really what it is, because of the effects still to this day, right? And then it says during European colonization, some Native Americans were captured and sold by others into slavery to Europeans. So Europeans put the natives in slavery. It says this is in the late 18th and 19th centuries, and they adopted the practice of holding slaves as chattel property and held increasing number of African-American slaves. Pre-contact forms of slavery were generally distinct from the form of chattel slavery developed by Europeans in North America during the colonial period. So, if you're not listening carefully, what they're telling you is that though Native Americans did practice what they're calling slavery intertribally amongst their own people, it says that it was different. It says pre-contact, meaning before the Europeans came over here, okay, forms of slavery were distinct from chattel slavery, meaning they were different. It was different. This goes back to what I was saying.
They know.
If anything, that proves even more that they're Israel, because there was different laws.
Right.
Even though if you had beef with each other among that, there's laws on the books in the Bible of how you treated people of your own, right, during that time, right, that you took into servitude.
It's that moral and civil law that we had.
Right. It was different. You treated a servant of your own people different than of another nation. Right. All right. So it's telling you that Europeans came during the colonial period and the slavery was different. So European influence greatly changed slavery used by Native Americans. All right. So let me go on. And this is the narrative they try to, I'm going to read this part. It says, as they raided other tribes to capture slaves for sale to Europeans, they fell into destructive wars among themselves and against Europeans. That's the same thing they try to say in Africa, that the, well, you sold your own people.
Right. Africans sold Africans into slavery.
Right.
Right.
No, they Africans sold Israelites into slavery.
Right.
So let me go down to, let me see. Okay, here we go. So I want European enslavement of Native Americans. This is the part that I want, and I'm going to read a little bit about this. All right, European enslavement of Native Americans. So it says the exact number of Native Americans who were enslaved is unknown, because vital statistics and census reports were at best infrequent. So he says at best of free. He's basically saying there's no statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to what I was saying earlier in the show, and how, you know, this is why it's kind of people don't understand. It says Andres Resendez estimates that between 147,000 and 340,000 Native Americans were enslaved in North America, excluding Mexico. Linford Fisher's estimates 2.5 to 5.5 million natives enslaved in the entire Americas. So, you know, they have these variations of numbers which don't mean anything, but we understand, really, I mean, when you look at it, the curses, I mean, it's so clear when you think of GAD, how it came upon them, just when you think of why, because of popular media and what they portrayed in that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, even though records became more reliable in the later colonial period, Native American slaves received little to no mention, or they were classified with African slaves with no distinction. This is what I was saying earlier.
Right.
All right. So a lot of times it's something that's not acknowledged because they made no distinction for them. They just threw them in. Slaves were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know how, like we say, like how some Northern Kingdom, they try to think that they're different. Some of us, they got the lighter complexion. They still see us all as, you know, we niggas with straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Right. That's the only difference.
Right.
So, for example, in the case of Sarah Chackum of Rhode Island, her master listed her as mulatto in the bill of sale to Edward Robinson, but she won her freedom by asserting the Narragansett identity. So this is just one example that they're giving you for people who want references. Oh, you're just speculating. This was one example that was documented. You have to understand this was a time where why would you go out of your way to document lineage and mm-hmm. characterizing a people that you're subjecting other than just say these are the slaves?
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's probably not good business to give them any type of identity because that gives them something to rally around.
Right.
Right? Just mm-hmm. throw them all in the same pot.
Mm-hmm.
So little is known about Native Americans that were forced into labor. Where's that scripture that says Judah and Israel were pressed together? Give me that.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together.
Right. It says they were oppressed together. Judah signifies the southern kingdom, which is Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Right. And Israel, when you speak in the Bible, even though we're all Israel, they typically that'll mean separate from Judah.
Right.
All right. Separate from that southern kingdom. And this is what you read here. It says that it says, even though records became more reliable on little, Native American slaves received little to no mention, or they were classified with African slaves with no distinction. The Bible says we serve captivity together. Read.
Verse 33.
Uh-huh.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together.
It says we were oppressed together, right? So it says little is known about Native Americans that were forced into labor. Two myths have complicated the history of Native American slavery. That Native Americans were undesirable as servants. Now, this is true. They're saying they're myths. This is true to some respect, right? Because it talks about Gad would overcome at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They were very they had the spirit of rebelling.
Right.
And it's not that Judah didn't have a fighting heart. There's obviously you got Nat Turner, right? What was the other one? There was another one that rebelled, and there's a few rebellions that were put down, all right, by so-called Judite slaves. But the difference was is that they were more broken at that point. I mean, after that journey over here on ships. Mm. And the stuff that they saw and how they were kept and how they were captured and what happened on the journey over, you know, it's like they were smitten before their enemies, like the scripture talks about in the book of Deuteronomy 28.
And one of the biggest breaking processes that they did was incorporate Willie Lynch's methods.
Mm-hmm.
When the slaves were rebelling, they used Willie Lynch diabolical methods to truly break a slave to be submissive. And the whole purpose of that, to break a slave down, was for good economics.
Right, right. And some of the things that the officer's talking about when he says the Willie Lynch stuff, like tactics like putting the light skin against the dark skin,
right.
Pitting the woman against the man,
right.
Taking the biggest Negro in the yard and beating the crap out of him and showing how, like, listen, the strongest of you ain't going to do nothing against us. Mm-hmm. And it was like you said, it was diabolical. Like mm-hmm. It was a mix of so many different tactics that right. they use that it's like we gave up that warring, courageous spirit mm-hmm. to fight back. It was a little different with Gad because up until this point, Gad knew the land. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to think of this. They were more emboldened because they said, listen, if we run, we know where to run to. We know right. how to survive on the land. We right. know what to do. Judah coming over from Africa and, you know, the west coast of Africa, where were they going to? They didn't know where they were. So if they did flee, where were they going to go to? Exactly. Right. There was nothing for them. There was no quarter for them. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing you think about. OK, let's escape. Now what? I don't know how to live on this land. I don't know what's out here. I don't know what's edible, what's not. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
It were all these different things that they had to consider. And then the breaking process of the horrors that you hear what happened on them ships and how they were kept and how many of them died on the passage over, having been set. You know what I'm saying? It's like you give up the will to live, to fight, really. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And maybe not to the point that you would want to kill yourself, though some did. Some would rather
many
jump.
Did,
many,
right.
many just threw themselves overboard and said, you know, rather than this, you know? Gad was more rebellious. So they were a little undesirable of service. They're saying it was a myth, but it wasn't. And it says, and then the second one is that Native Americans were exterminated or pushed out after King Philip's War. They were exterminated to a great extent, all right? But not so much so that they weren't used as slaves, all right? So let me read that from the top again. It says, two myths have complicated the history of Native American slavery. The Native Americans were undesirable as servants, and that Native Americans were exterminated or pushed out after King Philip's War. The precise legal status for some Native Americans is at times difficult to establish, as involuntary servitude and slavery were poorly defined in the 17th century British America. Some masters asserted ownership over the children of Native American servants, seeking to turn them into slaves. So you hear what I'm saying there? He says some masters asserted ownership over the children of Native American servants. It's the same practices that they had with Judah, mm-hmm. where if your slaves had kids, those kids were now your slaves
right.
as well, seeking to turn them into slaves. So that's Deuteronomy 28:32.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and read that real quick.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 32.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people.
It says they will be given unto another people. We're reading here. It says there was masters. These are European masters, another people, that asserted ownership over the children of Native American servants, seeking to turn them into slaves. Read. Mm.
And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long.
It says your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. Why?
And there shall be no might in thine hand.
Because there was no might in thine hand. They came in, they had better technology, the weapons, you know, and you know, they try to sell you this narrative that they were eating Thanksgiving dinner together and everything like that. No, they relied heavily on the Indian slave trade. Give me Lamentations 5. I want to read 1 through 3. Because it's saying the same thing that we read here, where it says the masters asserted ownership over the Native American. You see the slickness of how this is worded?
It says
the Native American servants seeking to turn the children into slaves. So the parents were servants, but the kids then became. You got to be dumb if you don't see through the propaganda that they're trying to put here.
Right.
They're going to use servants and slaves in the same thing because why? Servant sounds nicer.
It sounds.
It's not a word that has such a negative connotation.
Right.
Because why? You have servants today sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. We have servers in restaurants, right?
And
waiter or waitress.
That. And they know that.
And they know that.
Because they've read Leviticus 25.
Right.
And they know the difference between servitude and slavery.
Right. Right. Go ahead. Read this.
Lamentations 5.
That 5 and start at 1.
Book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers.
Well, that's the first part of what happened with Gad. Their inheritance was this land, this over here. It was turned to strangers. They came here and set up their own governments.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole essence of, it's called colonial America. They were called colonists. It was called the 13 colonies.
Mm.
When you look at colonialism, how do you come to another, you know, they try to tell you, no, that, well, they bought the land.
Right.
Bullshit. They're not buying the land. They came here and they took the inheritance and it was turned to strangers. They're trying to tell you, well, Gad did that. They had tribal wars within each other. The prophecy says that it would be turned to strangers. What Gad was doing amongst themselves, that's no different than what was happening with the Israelites back then. That's why there was laws on slavery and servitude of mm-hmm. people you captured of your own people.
Right.
All right. That was during war times that things like that happened. They try to make it seem like we came here and we were constantly against each other.
Right.
And then even if that was the case by any measure, it still doesn't change the reality of what you're reading here,
right.
where it says the inheritance would be turned to strangers. Go ahead.
Our houses to aliens.
Oh, to foreigners. To foreigners. The prophecy was about foreigners, to aliens. Read the next verse.
We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows.
Orphans and fatherless. And so I'm going to go back and read this. It says, some masters assert ownership over the children of Native American servants, slaves, seeking to turn the children into slaves. They became orphans and they were fatherless because they took them away from their parents. All right. So now it goes on to say the historical uniqueness of slavery in America is that European settlers drew a rigid line between insiders, people like themselves who could never be enslaved, and non-white outsiders. So listen, sometimes I say things and later is when the other shoe drops. I'm not speaking out of emotion. I'm not speaking out of, yeah, you might see me get like, you know, sometimes I elevate or because, you know, like it'll resonate with me for a second, like the wickedness
oppression,
and I get angry.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Man angry.
Right.
Right.
It says slavery in America is historically unique. So the argument that whole nations were in some form of slavery,
it doesn't apply.
It does not apply because this is a historically unique slavery in the way it happened to our people. All right. And you know what else? There's a scripture that talks about that our captivity was historically unique.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Daniel 9.
9 and 12. It's historically unique because it was Bible prophecy.
Because it was Bible
that
prophecy.
That it would happen.
Right. Our slavery is unique as compared to some people who are like, well, slavery really comes from the Slavs. The Slavics that were slaves, or the Romans that were slaves, or the German, or whatever it was, whatever races you want to say. Yeah, sure, you are absolutely right. There was slavery. But our slavery, by Esau's own words, is historically unique. And read this biblically.
Start at verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice.
So understand that this is the you can never forget that this is the reason why it happened. All right, go ahead.
Therefore, the curse is poured upon us.
It says poured. Now, when you pour something, right. that means like you're immersed in that thing. It's
right.
poured. It's not a sprinkle.
Not a drip.
It's not a drip. It was poured upon you. All right, go ahead.
And the oath that is written in the law of Moses.
That's Deuteronomy 28. That was the promise because at that point, they had just got free from bondage.
Right.
But the Lord said, listen, I'm going to put you back into bondage, and it's going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different than Egypt. I'm talking to you about a unique curse, a unique captivity that you will go into. Go ahead.
The servant of God, because we have sinned against him, and he hath confirmed his words.
He confirmed his words, and we see that today, the confirmation. We are the product of that confirmation.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Which he spake against us. And against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil.
A great evil. So make no mistake about it. What's been done to us is pure evil. These other nations, starting with Esau, it was evil that they did.
Right.
But the Lord allowed it. So it doesn't mean that he put the spirit on them to do that. This was in their spirit to be that way because the Bible tells you, right? There is none upright.
Right.
They're not upright from the womb. All right. Desperately wicked. But he used them. He didn't make them to be they exceeded in what they were. Yes, that was his instrument. That was his tool. He made them for this purpose. But that was something that was in them. Because
right.
remember, it's in us to be just as evil.
Yes, right.
What keeps us right?
The laws.
The laws. Yeah. That's the distinction that separates us. So I'm not trying to take no onus off the depths of the wickedness of these other nations, starting with Esau, but there's a distinction. And there's a reality, there's a level of accountability that we got to take for. All right? Go ahead, Reed.
For under the whole heaven.
For, here's the uniqueness. For under the whole heaven. Go ahead.
Hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem.
Under the whole heaven have not been done as have been done to our people is what that's telling you. And now you're reading here. It says the historical uniqueness of slavery in America. It says, and it goes and it tries to break down, and there's more uniqueness to it. It's not just this. You were going to say something as we were reading this? Go ahead.
One distinction that keeps popping out of why it was so unique, what happened to us, contrary, in comparison to other nations. Other nations might have been in slavery, like the Yugoslavs or whatever they want to say. It wasn't a whole entire nation of people that went into slavery.
No.
It was little bits of tribes and maybe thousands of people here, thousands of people there.
Right.
When the Most High said, I'm going to pour my fury, that means everybody going into slavery.
Right. Well, he says all Israel transgressed too when we start at verse 11. Right. That's right. Everybody was going to feel that fury. And it also goes back to what? Just the mere fact that they can say, well, yes, we as Slavs were in slavery, we as this were in slavery, goes to show you that it was not the same thing.
Right.
Ours was done to the point where we were destroyed as a people.
Exactly.
All right?
And there was actually, I went to a bookstore. And a bookstore by me, and I was picking up a bunch of books on African American, so called, and he was talking about how the Irish people are lying too.
Yeah,
he was telling me
right.
I was like, oh, all praises.
They try to say that they were in slavery. It was different, right? They had like the indentured servitude,
right?
It was contracts that they did. Hey, I work for you for a certain amount of years
to get money.
If you get me over and get money, and they were giving stuff when they were done with it.
Right. Fact is, the Irish are still Edomites. The whole nation of Edom did not go through these curses that we have went through.
Right. Right. So let's go back to read this here. Okay, I was just checking the time. See how much time we got left. So it says, the historical uniqueness of slavery in America is that European settlers drew a rigid line between insiders, which means their own people. That's basically what it's saying, between their own people, between people like themselves who could never be enslaved. Bro, that's the mentality that they had. This is like a quote. So like some Edomite said this. People like themselves who could never be enslaved. And non-white outsiders, mostly Africans and Native Americans, who could be enslaved.
Hmm.
It was all pressed together, all right? There's no separation,
That's
okay?
Right.
A unique feature between natives and colonists was that colonists gradually asserted sovereignty over the native inhabitants during the 17th century. This is what I'm saying. They came up in here. And it says they gradually, like it was one of those things. This is why you can't give them a foothold, man.
Mm-mm.
They're going to come in, they infiltrate. And then they want to take their, it's in their spirit to want to have the preeminence.
Right.
And it says they asserted sovereignty over the native inhabitants. Do you know what that is? But no, bro, that's like if I start off visiting your house, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe I come every Saturday, right? And then I start coming, you know, more frequently. And every day I'm in your house. And then one day you come home and the locks has changed.
Bro,
and everything is different inside. And I'm like, you're like, bro, but it's my house. How you rolling like that?
Why you sitting on my favorite chair
right
now?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, this ain't yours. You'd be like, bro, well, what do you mean? I'd be like, yo, I'll even pull out the lease. Like, bro, your name's not even on the lease no more or the deed. You know what I'm saying? That's how gangster that thing is, bro.
Right.
You know, bro, it makes no sense.
Man, that's biblical that they did that. Can I get a scripture?
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Psalms 55 and verse 20.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just like you were saying, they'll pull out contracts. And make treaties and say
I'm glad that you went there because that's what this is saying here when it says they gradually asserted sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
They were reading treaties and languages that the people could not understand and having them agree to these things. Hmm. Why? Because listen, they would kill off, and that's another curse in Deuteronomy 28 where it says the oxen, right, and all that be taken from
our
you.
Resources.
They killed off the resources of the neighborhood, chiefly which was the buffalo, all right? This is why they're almost extinct to this day. They're trying to bring them back, right? They put them on farms and stuff like that. But this whole land was overpassed with buffalo, with bison, all right? And they used that for everything. They used that for food, for clothing, for medicinal purposes, all that stuff. Like, they used the whole animal for these things. And it says that they went and they would give treaties and say, okay, we're going to give you this if you agree to this. We'll leave you alone if you did. Listen, they would have never had to be a treaty signed if they weren't messing with them. So it was like, all right, all right, all right, all right. We'll stop attacking you. peace, truce, truce. Mm. Fingers crossed behind the back, shaking
right.
hands.
Mm-hmm.
A treaty in another language, distinctions that you can't say. They do that to this day.
Take
you see, bump. You see, our people get bump contracts and in music and acting, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second, I didn't know it was like this. Mm. And we so happy that we'll sign a contract to do an album from with 10 albums for $1 million because when you eating crackers and now you can have cheese and crackers, that's an upgrade.
Right. Mm.
But then all of a sudden you realize that, wait a second, this dude is having steak and I'm having cheese. You know what I'm saying? It's all perception.
Right.
And they put you in this frame of mind. This is the gradual, bro. The words are so cunning. It says they asserted sovereignty.
Esau got a slick tongue.
Very
slick.
Boy, go ahead. Bring out what you're going to bring out.
The Most High expose Esau real quick. Go ahead.
The book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him.
He's put forth his hands. Just like when the colonists came to this land and the natives were very peaceful.
They were very peaceful.
Very peaceful. Invited them, taught them how to farm, taught them how to live off the land.
You wouldn't have been able to live on their land if they weren't peaceful.
Right. It's to the point where the natives took care of Esau on this land when they came. And they attacked Gad while they were being peaceful, is what the scripture was saying.
Right.
Go ahead.
He hath broken his covenant.
That's those treaties that Esau has made with Gad. He's broken his treaties,
right.
broken his covenants. Go ahead.
Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than
he
butter.
He got that slick, cunning talk. He knows how to word things to bring confusion. Just like the captain was saying, he brought different languages and different terms and different dialects to confuse Gad, and his words are smoother than butter. We'll stay on this part of the land. We won't go over here.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us this, give us that, and we'll be cool. We'll have a big Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
The pilgrims and the Indians will live peacefully.
Wow.
Very smooth words. Go ahead.
But war was in his heart.
But what?
But war was in his heart.
But war was in his heart. He had his fingers crossed behind his back the whole time
right.
he was talking to Chief.
Right.
Trojan
right.
horse.
Hey, so now I want to read the rest of this to go with what you just brought out. It says, a unique feature between natives and colonists was that colonists gradually asserted sovereignty over the native inhabitants during the 17th century, ironically transforming them into subjects with collective rights and privileges that Africans could not enjoy. So they started, this is part of that council where they cast their bands asunder, right? And they created divisions, but then it didn't matter because what we just read in the end.
Right.
They broke their treaties, they broke their promises because war was really in their heart. And what they did was they put them in a state of mind to pacify them. This is the distinction I was talking about earlier. Judah was already broken having come over here in a strange land that they knew nothing about. And they said, we got to deal a little different with Gad. All right, because we're doing this slavery thing and it's not working too good. So how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to put them to sleep.
Mm.
We're going to put them to sleep with a lullaby. And then while they're asleep, that's when and they would do that literally. They would read these treaties, all right, and in another language from like 500 yards away. Oh, you're not complying.
Mm.
Right, it's kind of like when the cops sometimes arrest some, and I'm not talking about the wicked jakes that deserve to be arrested and locked up. All right,
mm-hmm.
all right, because the scripture tell you the powers that be are only not a terror to good works.
Right,
right, right.
All right, but it's like when they say stop resisting. It's like, bro, I'm not resisting. Here,
yeah.
Stop resisting,
yeah.
Bro. Don't shoot me. I'm not resisting.
You have brothers with their hands up and still get shot.
Right.
Get shot.
Bro, I saw one time.
Wow.
The guy was down with his hands up,
yep.
And the guy shot him anyway. He goes, why'd you shoot me? He said, I don't know.
It's just in my nature to be a devil.
The cop said, I don't know.
And he still couldn't figure it out.
Bro, that's that wicked from that strange from the womb. That's that,
wow.
that not the soul that's in him is not upright in him.
War was in his heart.
War is in his heart.
That's what it is.
I don't know. So it says the West Indies developed as plantation societies prior to the Chesapeake Bay region and had a demand for labor. So the West Indies they're talking about is the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to show you this is what we talk about sometimes when we're on the street and we bring things out historically when we say Northern Kingdom was a slavery first. Listen, that's not a moniker to be proud of. It's not, we got captivity
right.
first.
Right.
It's just to point out that how all this thing was really just a grand design by the Lord
right.
to line this up so that our people would wake up in these last days. Check this out even more, because I know I'm always messing with Judah.
Mm.
Right? And it's going to come out later when I read the second article that Judah, a lot of y'all are really gad.
Mm.
All right. But there's Northern Kingdom that are going to be
shown that they can, because it says in the Spanish colonies, the church assigned Spanish surnames to Native Americans and recorded them as servants rather than slaves.
Wow.
So this was part of the Willie Lynch thing. Some of them were house niggas. Some of them were slaves that got, beat every day. So it says Gad was given Spanish surnames as well. So some of us walking around today, I'll put it out there, repping Ephraim, repping Issachar.
Right.
Hey, we asked a couple of brothers here that said, hey, it turns out we got.
Right.
And they were repping Issachar, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, and recorded them as servants rather than slaves. Many members of Native American tribes in the West were taken for life as slaves, but they called them servants. In some cases, courts served as conduits for enslavement of Indians, as evidenced by the enslavement of the Hopi, Manwan Suni, in 1659 by a court in Santa Fe for theft of food and trinkets from the governor's mansion. So punishment was not prison, but okay, now you got to spend a life remanded as a slave because you tried to take food from here. All right? So there was a Hopi man named Juan Suni. Now, the Hopi had, that's another thing, that's a whole other thing. The Hopi had prophecies very similar to what you read in the book of Revelation. And they talk about, and even Deuteronomy 28, where it talks about a pale-faced man that would come and enslave them, all this type of stuff. So the Hopi is very interesting, and there was a lot of Hopi here in like where we're at in the Southwest as well. Santa Fe is New Mexico, right? It was known as New Mexico today, so they're saying according to Santa Fe. In the East, hold on. Native Americans were recorded as slaves. So this is where the confusion comes in. So in the West, they were servants, which were still slaves. In the East, they were just recorded as slaves. Slaves in Indian territory across the United States were used for many purposes. From work in the plantations of the East, they were picking cotton.
Wow.
Right alongside y'all,
right.
You ignorant ass. Jake. Unrepentant because they ain't keeping no damn laws. Talking about that Northern Kingdom ancient people.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It says they were...
That's the dumbest doctrine I've heard
far. They were in the plantations as well. In the plantations of the East to guides across the wilderness. Because why? They knew the land. So they would enslave them to guide them. All right? To work in deserts of the West or as soldiers in wars.
Mm-hmm.
Native American slaves suffered from European diseases and inhumane treatment. And many died while in captivity. Man,
they use that word captivity, though. They use that word captivity.
Yes. Bro, and it's funny because they'll try to interchange it, but it, with all the words and synonyms that they're on the English language, it's just slavery by another name.
Right.
And they can't, like, they have to reveal themselves because you can't call it anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you can rebuke that whole notion that we were killing ourselves first, because they know a lot of us were killed in captivity.
Right. Right.
That's why the buffalo was killed.
Right.
To kill us. That's why the blankets, they put all that
small
out there.
Pots,
yes.
Small pots.
Yes. There's a lot more on this. I'm going to go to the other article because we got like 19 minutes left for the show. I may go over this again, what we did today, and then dive deeper for maybe next week's Sabbath class. I forgot we actually won't be, we got the conference, but anyway, but I'm going to do it here. Lord's will, I remember. I want to dive into this a little more. So let me jump to the next article.
This one with Judah, right?
He said, oh, you ready? Of all the things he's remembering that, right? So I'm Judah. Maybe not, bro.
Right.
It says, colonial America depended on the enslavement of indigenous people. The role of enslaving Native Americans in early American history is often overlooked. It says textbooks and classroom lesson plans are starting to present a more clear-eyed view of America's history, such as slowly recognizing the violence that happened when European settlers encountered the indigenous people of the so-called New World. But there are still many overlooked stories. One, I like how they say stories so that it's
like a fairy tale.
It's overlooked history. Mm. They say stories like to kind of lessen the authenticity of it, the factuality of it. It says, one of these startling omissions to the history books is something Margaret Elenuo is calling attention to in her book, Brethren by Nature. Colonists living in New England relied on the labor of thousands of Native Americans to build their new lives. The enslavement of New England's indigenous people was glossed over in the work of historians after World War I. I wonder why. Glossed over. That's a nice way to say that they didn't want it to be brought to the light.
Right.
Mm. And Newell, an associate professor of history at Ohio State University, writes that historians reconstructed the compelling narrative of the Puritan migration. Reconstructed. You know, I got to look at the definition of this because this is one of their crafty words to say that they lied.
Hmm.
To say that they're liars, right?
They can't never be blunt with their own deceit, man.
Bro. Reconstructed. Reconstruct. To build or form something again after it has been damaged or destroyed, reorganize. I got to get, you know, hold on.
You know why they're not going to be just blunt with it? Because even Satan came as an angel of light,
that's right.
And that's who their father is.
Here we go. See, I like dictionary.com a lot, man, because it gives you multiple definitions. So reconstruct is to recreate in the mind from given or available information. And then the example that they use is to reconstruct the events of the murder. So reconstruct. So now as we read this, it means they lied.
Right.
All right. She says, historians reconstructed the compelling narrative of the Puritan migration. Many of these works stress the uniqueness of New England culture and sought there the origins of American exceptionalism. Meaning, this is where you come up with that the natives came and they broke bread together and that it was this beautiful, harmonious thing where they said, come, take our land, have our women, take our children. You're so fair and white-skinned that we want to give you all of this just for arriving on our shores. Bullshit. Right. Malarkey.
Right.
Malarkey with this BS. It says, during the course of researching her first book, From Dependency to Independence, Economic Revolution in Colonial New England, Newell came across a list of Native American slaves kept by colonists in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. She was surprised by the find because she had been taught that New England colonists didn't keep Native American as slaves. So this is a, I don't know if she's Esau or who she is. I'm not going to assume. But I'll just call her this historian. So this particular historian, who's obviously educated enough that she can find these, because this ain't some typical document that a regular Negro going to find.
Right.
All right. You and me aren't going to have access to things like this.
Right.
All right. It says she was not taught this. She was taught that the New England colonists, the North, right? New York, Boston,
right.
Connecticut, Maine, New Hampshire, all this stuff,
right.
That they were what would be called today progressive, liberal. They didn't keep slaves. She says in her education, this highly educated individual that has access to this type of information,
right,
says that she was surprised to find a list of Native American slaves kept by colonists in the Massachusetts Bay Colony because she was not taught that New England colonists kept Native Americans as slaves.
Hmm.
She says because they often ran away, but the impression was incorrect.
Hmm.
Lee writes, the colonial economy depended on slavery. Depended on slavery. Their economy was dependent on our captivity.
That's right.
Many well-to-do households functioned only because of slavery. So the rich got rich because of that. The
right.
rich that are rich today, they didn't pull themselves up off their bootstraps.
Right.
They got that today off the back of our brothers and sisters. It says early colonial legal codes were devised to justify slavery. They framed mischief by law. Let's get that.
That's where. That's what they did. Get that real quick.
Get that.
And Daniel.
Y'all better wake up. Need to do some research.
It's the book
right.
of...
One sister writes, and it's true, I was going to mention it earlier, it says these people still tell lies in their contracts today. It's true. This is why you need to spend inordinate amounts of money on a lawyer so that he can read the lies because he speaks that language.
Right.
So he can so you don't sign something that hems you up.
Reconstructed. He knows
reconstructed,
that
right. That's going to be the new word for us. Brother's going to come up and be like, bro, why you lied? I didn't lie. I just kind of
reconstructed the truth.
The truth.
Yeah. I just reconstructed the facts that was already there.
Goodness. Reconstructed.
What was that, 94 and what? Where is that at?
Hold on.
Oh, yes, 94 and 20.
You got it?
Yeah.
94 and 20, yep. That's it. Psalms 94 and 20.
The book of Psalms, chapter 94, verse 20.
So before you read that, right, I was talking about that. It says that the colonial economy depended on slavery. Many well-to-do households functioned only because of slavery. And early colonial legal codes were devised to justify slavery. Read.
Book of Psalms, 94, verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law?
It says it calls these colonists, it calls Esau the throne of iniquity. The throne, that means that's the top. It starts with them. Other nations are in cahoots with them, all right, are confederate with them. But it says, but them, they are the throne of iniquity. It says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you? Meaning, wake up. Their contracts and their things, they're not trying to fellowship with you. Right. You are righteous, pure people, even when you're in iniquity. Mm. Why? Because we have that adoption of sons. We have that ability to return back to the Most High
right.
through his son's sacrifice in Christ.
Right.
So we are not banished. It's not cast off forever.
Right.
All right? We have that ability to return. What have they to do with God's judgments
right.
and statutes?
Nothing.
They have nothing to do with it. Mm. So it's telling you it should not have fellowship with it. Read it from the top again.
Verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee?
No, right? Why? Because?
Which frameth mischief by a law.
The early colonial legal codes were devised to justify. That's mischief. Slavery is evil. It's mischief. And they framed it by law because they changed their legal codes and they were devised to justify slavery.
Right.
Was that it on that verse?
Let me read on.
Go ahead.
They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood.
So that's exactly what this was.
Right.
They gather themselves together against the souls of the righteous
right.
and condemn the innocent.
And that's one of the things where they say the Native Americans were killing each other.
Right. Right. It's all what do they say? Like wag the dog. It's like a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that they hide their own wickedness.
Right. Jedi mind trick.
Right.
That's what they try to do.
It wasn't slavery. You know,
it was servitude.
Native Americans had you in slavery too.
Mm-hmm.
Prevent that unifying of our people.
Right.
So it says early colonial legal codes were devised to justify slavery, and the Pequot War and King Philip's War were fought in large measure to perpetuate slavery.
Hmm.
They wanted to perpetuate it. So I got to read a little more into these two wars, okay? But it says that these two wars were fought to – they basically fought to keep slavery, to perpetuate it. Indeed, in the 1630s, the Connecticut River Valley was home to the powerful Pequots. The settlers at Plymouth and Massachusetts Bay wanted their rich, fertile land, and in order to get it, they persuaded Mohegan and a Narragansett allies to help them fight the Pequots. So they went, and through their craftiness, they got other tribes to help fight the Pequots. And maybe I'm saying wrong. I apologize if I butcher it. I'm not, that I know of, I'm not Gad. So I can't pronounce these things right.
These
I mean, who knows, right?
Who knows?
Okay. They persuaded Morgan and allies to help them fight the Pequots. In 1637, they burned a village on the banks of the Mystic River in southeastern Connecticut, killing 400 to 700 Pequots, according to the Society of Colonial Wars in the state of Connecticut. That massacre turned the tide of the war, and Pequot survivors were pursued, captured, and sold as slaves. That reminds me of Deuteronomy 28, I think it's around 25 or so, where it talks about you'll go out one way against your enemies
right.
and flee seven ways before
yeah.
them. All right? We don't got to read it. Just for the interest of time, I'm not going to get to it because I want to finish the article. All right? And we have maybe about like 8 minutes left on the show. So it says King Philip's War in the mid-1670s, which was fought to protest the English colonists' encroaching influence, when you encroach, it means you sneak up on
right.
and try to overtake an area that's not yours, and forced labor of Native Americans. Forced labor is a nice word. It's a non-combative word. It's a non-stigmatized term to mean slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Ended with as many as 40% of the Indians in southern New England living in English households as indentured servants or slaves. They were not indentured servants. They were not indentured servants. There they go, China. It was just slaves. They should just put it ended 40%. 40% of them. So King Philip's War ended with 40%. So they fought to fight against the slavery, and then 40% of them wound up enslaved over that. Again, curses coming to life. Flee one way against them. Come one way against them, flee seven ways before them. The English colonists weren't the only ones to use the labor of enslaved indigenous people, of course. The Spanish were almost totally dependent on Indian labor in most of their colonies. And it's really just white people against white people because the Spaniards are from Europe, and Europe are white people, all right? So it says the Spanish were almost totally dependent on Indian labor in most of their colonies. Enslaving Native Americans became one of the primary ways to expand the economy for colonists in South Carolina and to a lesser extent in North Carolina, Virginia, and Louisiana. From 1670 to 1720, more Indians were shipped out of Charleston, South Carolina, than Africans were imported as slaves. So they were shipped out
back to
Europe, back to other parts of the country, back to Spain as slaves. And Charleston was a major port for bringing in Africans. So it's telling you, Charleston was one of the biggest ports to bring in Africans, but they say they exported more Indian slaves than they imported African slaves. And we know that it was a ridiculous amount. Right. It was one of the largest slave ports. So it's telling you that that's there to show you the comparison, all right, of how the slavery was done. It says, as the African slave trade took off in the late 1700s, the Native American slave trade waned. Many remaining tribes had been pushed west, Trail of Tears, all that stuff, right? But something else was taking place that pushed the data down as well. Some Native Americans were intermarrying with African Americans. So you Judites running around Judah, I'm telling you, I mean, I know I bust your chops, but it's a reality. It's a reality for us too,
all
right? Some of us might be Gad and Reuben,
right.
You know, so you got our detractors. You messed up by saying that Reuben was a separate thing than the Gadites or whatever. But good luck finding 12,000. But you don't understand history.
Right.
You don't understand history.
Not at all.
But early on in my walk, I used to think that I'd be like, damn, I don't think there's enough Native Americans that will repent. Like, that's a lie. You're basically saying 24,000, right? 12,000 Gad, which is broader, obviously, right. And then 12,000 Seminoles. Where are you going to get 12,000 Seminoles?
And some of us might be Gads.
The Lord has them reserved, man. Bro, there's that scripture. I can't remember exactly where it is. I had brought it out a few classes ago that I gave here. And it says, listen, when Christ returns, even if you're not faithful, there will be found faithful. Meaning, this is preordained. This is predestined.
That's in Luke.
Right? And it talks about what? That he's not going to return unless they found faithful. Meaning,
right.
And when you understand even more, that 12,000 from each tribe got to be sealed. 12,000 will be sealed.
Right.
Whatever you see, whatever your small understanding has in that, all right, 12,000 will be sealed and it will be manifest who they are. All right? And you're going to know that they're from these tribes. So it says a lot of the reason that the Native American slave trade doesn't get the proper statistics or whatever it is because they were intermarrying with so-called African-Americans. They were also intermarrying with Spaniards or some were signed Spanish names and then started to be raised that way. All right? The children were then referred to as colored. From these marriages, they were then just referred to as colored. So a lot of – listen, there's more Gad out there than you believe, brothers and sisters. All right? Effectively erasing their Native American heritage. The enslavement of Native Americans thus became obscured. But modern DNA, there we go with DNA technology, helped keep that story from being lost in time. The history of the enslavement of Native Americans continues to be complicated and a dark part of America's history. But it's one that deserves to continue to be researched and reconciled with. So this is a hell of an article. I like it. There's a lot more information out there as well.
And it's not the DNA that made it not be lost in history. It's the scriptures. It's
right.
The Bible.
Right. It's the scriptures. It's the Bible that brought that out. So we got like 3 minutes left. I don't know, any closing thoughts on this stuff? I mean, there's so much more I could dive into. Like I said, I got tons of books on, you know, I got at least five others about about Gad, you know, amongst the other books that I have. And not that that's the preeminent source, but it goes to show you, like, you know, don't be a dum-dum, you know? Like,
right,
at the end of the day, we're going to get our information to some extent and largely so from sources that are here. I mean, how else do you think you can identify with the curses? Like, if we weren't aware of the history of slavery, then we wouldn't be able to make that connection.
Right.
But it's not that those books validate the Bible, all right? It's the other way around.
Right.
The Bible validates that stuff. And that's really how we got to see it.
Well, I've seen personally evident that I see dark-skinned brothers coming in to visit from the camp, darker than me, and they'll stand up and like, oh, I'm from the tribe of Reuben. Remember the Cali camp brothers? That brother was crispy.
Right.
I'm like, okay, there goes more Judite brothers here.
You know,
I get tired of people saying I'm Judah, you know. Love for Judah, but.
Right, but if you look, there is a, to some extent, like you can see, like, the Reubenites that have said they're Reuben, they have similarities in how they look as well. But I'm glad you said it, man. You say you get tired of people saying Judah. Yeah, and it's not because he don't want to rep Judah hard.
I feel like we already got 12,000 already. So.
That's what I'm saying. Bo, that's the argument that I'm making.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
We need Northern Kingdom wake up already.
Right, man. And yeah, I know. And listen, Northern Kingdom is more than just everybody thinking Mexicans and everything else. Listen, I think Issachar going to take care of itself, man. I believe Issachar is going to repent en masse, all right? We're making a lot of good headway in Dominican Republic. What I'm saying? You know, we're going back to Puerto Rico this year, Lord's will. We're going to do some work out there with them. Bro, you're going to continue to see this thing grow and brothers and sisters wake up, man, in the four corners of the earth. They're not all going to be here in America. You know what I'm saying?
This is
why we go out and we do these missions and, you know, make sure that this gospel is preached. Remember, Christ said this gospel has to be preached in the whole world.
Everywhere.
Germany.
And then the end shall come.
Russia. I'll praise
Right. And then the end will come. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, and this is also how you know it's not Christianity, because Christianity has been preached throughout the whole world.
Right.
And the end's not here. So either the Bible's a fairy tale, and you can run with that. Some people will.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Or you just know that it hasn't been preached.
Right.
And we know that. We know that. Yeah. Those of us who believe, we know that.
Right. Paul said he has set up the apostles last. In 1 Corinthians 4:9.
Right.
All these religions have been here for centuries. And Israel is now waking up in a high rate. This is the truth that shall be preached throughout
That's
the four
right.
corners of the earth.
That's right. We got to keep pushing on.
Yes, sir.
He wants to know the name of the article. You know what? Let me see if I can post the link so y'all can read this one. Shalom, Shah Parium. Most High Christ bless you, brother. Let me put this up here.
And at the end of the day, we got to understand Romans 8:16.
Right,
our spirit is going to bear witness with the Bible, and once that happens, we don't have to rely on
DNA
different articles.
Hey, brothers and sisters, and that's just one article, man. I'm telling you, there's a lot of information out there, man, and you know it's not even just Northern Kingdom history; it's Israel's history.
Right.
Anyway, we got 10 seconds left. That's our show for this week. Lord's will, you'll catch us next week. Thank you, brothers. Good job,
yes,
officers.
Sir.
All right, this is the Native Latin and Black Lords History Show. Signing off. Shalom.
Christ bless.